Live, local, first, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
Did you hear that promo, Pinto? I just cut that promo like 30 minutes ago about me going to Youngstown State thanks to La Quinta Inn and Suites and Stop and Go, and now you have it in the system, and now it's playing.
Yeah, I heard.
What? Why? What's the story here?
Well, you know, I want to go.
What? Well, why?
I'd like to go.
Well, so? Stay in the business 30 years and work your tail off and be successful, and I have no doubt you'll do that, and then you can go to Youngstown State someday.
Okay.
And I'm not thinking that Youngstown, Ohio itself, by the way, I've been there before, not exactly the greatest place on earth.
I've heard it's like a paradise.
It's like between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, so what does that tell you? Steel mill town was a big deal in the 1950s, has kind of been swirling for the last, 60 years, lost about half its population. Not the nicest place on the planet. I'm
really?
Just saying that. Really.
Oh, then go. By all means, go. I'll stay back. You go ahead.
I'm
good then.
I'll take
you
the
go
bullet
ahead.
For you. Gary, Indiana, I'll take the
you
bullet for you. Thank you, folks, and welcome to the Mike McFeely Show on this Tuesday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. And we like to have fun, Pinto and I going back and forth, having fun during this program. But we want to kick things off today on a more serious note, and I have Brian Sean of the American Red Cross, a local chapter here in Fargo-Moorhead, in our studios today because, and we talked about this the other day, Bishan, that every time I see you, it's some terrible thing happening, and we have to end that relationship. We need to go out for dinner and drinks just to have fun and talk about real life.
And talk about all the great things going on in the world.
Talk about the great things happening in the world. Every time I have you in here, there's some terrible tragedy, and that's exactly what happened in the Philippines over the weekend. This is a bad deal in the Philippines, this typhoon that went through. We're talking a town of 200,000 people, for example. Think of the town of Fargo. Off the map, just wiped out by this typhoon. There's some serious things going on down there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a pretty bad deal out there. And unfortunately, people in the Philippines deal with this pretty often too, Mike. I mean, they get these tropical storms and typhoons like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year. Now, some of them are worse than others. This is clearly one of the worst ones that's ever hit this Haiyan. I think they call it Typhoon Haiyan. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real massive disaster relief effort. And the biggest challenge right now is just the communications aspect. There's no infrastructure for communication. So getting a hold of people out there on this desolate island out in the middle of the ocean is tough.
The UN has estimated that more than 11 million people have been affected by the typhoon, with 660,000 left homeless. The official death toll passed 1,700, although there have been estimates of maybe 10,000 or more dead. Here's the question, Brian, and here's why I wanted to have you on the program today. When you hear those numbers, you go, whoa, man, that's bad news. What can we here in Fargo-Moorhead, what can listeners of KFGO, what can people throughout the region do, if anything, to help the people in the Philippines?
You know, there is actually a way to get your money to the Philippines out there. And just so we kind of explain the structure a little bit of the Red Cross, there's the American Red Cross. And then there's the Red Cross in every other country. So there's the Philippine Red Cross. They have their own 1,000 staff, 500,000 volunteers, and that they take care of their own. We only have 4 people from the American Red Cross that are actually deployed over there right now.
Okay.
And that's mainly for technical assistance. But the one thing they're always looking for there is financial assistance. I mean, they're going to need money to clean all this stuff up with this relief effort. There's no way they're going to be able to do it with what they have currently available out there right now. Certainly with all these people that are affected, it's posed a big challenge. So if you go to redcross.org, you'll actually see a link on the front page to go to the story about the Philippines and then click on a link to donate your funds directly to the Philippines typhoon relief efforts.
So you can do it that targeted. If you go to redcross.org,
yep.
You're gonna, you can follow some links and actually donate $5, $10, $100, $1,000 to go directly to relief in the Philippines.
So
it's not going through 27 different steps through Fargo.
It goes directly to the Red Cross. Yep. To that actual relief effort. Now, the text message does not work for this because the 90999 Red Cross, that doesn't operate. That's strictly for domestic Red Cross response.
And I was wondering about that because I think the last time, again, sadly, I had you in, I think that we were talking about being able to text money.
Right.
And that's a really easy way to do it here
right.
for the American Red Cross. And I know that millions have been raised for different disasters around the country for that. But the texting, no good. You're going to have to go online to redcross.org.
That's the best, really the best and frankly the only way, unless you want to call your local chapter and have it designated. But the easiest way to do it is you go to redcross.org and find the effort there.
This may be a silly question, Brian, but you've been involved with some of these cleanup efforts and these relief efforts domestically and even locally. What is the money needed for? Is it everything under the sun? Is it basic ABC stuff that we're talking about here, or where's this money going to be directed?
Yeah, it's really just food, water, and relief supplies, and then some sort of sheltering efforts. I mean, when you think about all the devastation, you mentioned the 660,000 people left homeless. Again, you have nothing but what you have on your back, and you have children involved and all these sorts of people that really need the help. So food, water, and relief supplies, toiletry items, those are the things where all that money will go to, because that's where clearly right now it's needed. And sheltering, as the infrastructure hopefully improves and gets cleaned up, will improve. But again, we're talking months and months away from that.
Brian Shaun of the Red Cross in studio with us at KFGO talking about the relief effort ongoing in the Philippines right now. One of the stories is that locally, the Philippine government or anybody, United Nations, they haven't been able to help. The Philippines is a South Pacific, island nation, very remote from the rest of the world, essentially. But there are parts of this nation that they can't get to. And so people now have been going 4 days after this disaster without water, without food, without shelter, with nothing. I mean, I don't want to say it's a third world nation, but it's not a good situation right now for these people. It's nasty.
Yeah, and it is kind of a third world country in the way it is now. I mean, after this relief effort, but you're right, that's not an easy place to get to. And that's the toughest part of this, is you have people wanting to come in and help and relief efforts to get there. And like someone would come to the Red Cross today and say, here's a pallet of water to take out there. Well, the amount of money it would cost us to get that water out there would be 10 times more than it would be to act the actual value of the water. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the challenges, is just getting that stuff out there. And on top of that, I think, Mike, like I mentioned, the communication systems. They're, you know, the phones and all those sorts of things, the cell towers that we take for granted, mm-hmm. saying just call somebody, those things aren't there. So we actually have two telecommunications experts from the American Red Cross setting up a satellite system right now in the Philippines, just so people can try to get a hold of some of their loved ones over there. Because even cases around here, we've had two families from here that are saying, I can't get a hold of family I have in the Philippines. Can you help us? And we do have family tracing services for that purpose. So we have those kind of going right now, trying to get a hold of some of those families out there so they can get in touch.
Have you had any luck so far? If you're talking about two local families here, mm-hmm. Trying to get a hold of relatives in the Philippines, and nothing yet?
Nothing as of yet. And, you know, we're telling people just continue to try to call them. Again, as we get these satellite systems in place, we're hoping within a week it'll be easier to get a hold of those people. But these tracing services, they can take a while. I mean, clearly to get word from there to here, we have systems and processes in place, but it certainly takes some time to do that.
You sent me some photographs, and I've been looking online like the rest of the world has been at some of the photographs and video of the Philippines. But, you know, when we think of a disaster around here, and the Red Cross does God's work. I mean, when the flooding is going through Minot, or the flooding is coming through the Red River Valley, you know, it's terrible. It's not good. We think it's awful. But when you look at some of the photos of the Philippines, it is square miles of a city flattened. I mean, there's nothing left standing. And it wasn't a place anyway, a lot of these areas, where it was an American-style house with brick and a basement and a foundation. It was a lot lower levels of that. And these communities are literally flattened. There's nothing left standing.
Yeah,
miles.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. It really is.
It's remarkable. I mean, you look at that and you go, my God. I mean, how do you come back from that? How do you feed people? How do these children survive? I mean, it breaks your heart, Brian.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the most disparaging things you'll see. Like I said, and anybody, any individual that's displaced, it's tough to see that, but especially kids, mm-hmm. because they really can't care for themselves in these situations. I mean, they need someone to help them out through this. And you know, they're looking to people to try to help them out as much as they can. And like you said, Mike, I mean, it's not like we have big brick houses with concrete and reinforced. And, you know, certainly Superstorm Sandy almost a year ago was a comparable disaster in terms of a lot of ways. But the difference there is we had enough volunteers, supplies, people to go out and start those relief efforts a lot easier than this one, because of the travel can, you know, the travel constraints.
Well, now, but we also have an infrastructure in place. You know, you know, people, many folks are down on the United States right now and some of the things we're doing, but the United States is a highly developed nation with an infrastructure, with wealth, if we need it, and all these different things. The Philippines has none of those things. It's a third world nation, and they just, it's, it seems like it always hits those places. And that's just one of the saddest things.
Yeah, that's it. That is the saddest thing. And like you said, it's even tough for those people right now that are stuck on that island. They'd probably like to get off and go somewhere else, maybe where they do have some family or friends they can take care of them. They can't get off that island right now. I mean, that's the other challenge, is people can't get on, people can't get off. And until that happens, you know, that there's going to clearly be some devastation and issues there.
Redcross.org, and then follow the links to give money directly to the Philippines relief effort.
Yeah, there's you'll see a story right there. Help the people in the Philippines, right on the front page of Redcross.org. If you click on there, there's one other link to say donate, boom, and that's it. Two quick links.
I'm going to have you stick around for one more segment. We're going to talk Bison football. Okay. Not, and it's a bad segue, but you also do some work with the Bison football team on television. So we're going to talk about the Bison Youngstown State game. I want to get your take on that, okay?
You got it.
Brian Shaw now has to take off his Red Cross hat and put on his North Dakota State I cover the Bison hat and spend a couple. How do you mesh those two worlds, by the way?
Oh, it can be a challenge sometimes, Mike, but I have a boss at the Red Cross that's very understanding and very supportive of my involvement doing stuff with North Dakota State. And North Dakota State is really good about, and KVLY, I should mention, for that matter, is very good about helping out the Red Cross as well. So it's a good relationship, and we've made it work, but it's a busy 7-day-a-week type thing through the fall.
Big game coming up Saturday at Youngstown State. Lovely play. Terre Haute or Youngstown? I'm not sure which is a better town, which is a better city.
Terre Haute.
Is it really a better town?
I think so.
Okay. This is going to be a difficult game for NDSU to win. Put the Grant Olson injury aside. Put all of that stuff aside. Youngstown's pretty good, and they have a really good quarterback. So is NDSU going to be able to get through this game, Brian, and remain undefeated in the Valley and remain undefeated for the season?
Yeah. You know, there's so many factors. I think another factor of that is Marcus Williams going to be close to 100% or even near there? Will he be able to play?
Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, and to me, if he doesn't play, well, then that does change a few things. Because I think against Youngstown, based on the way they operate in their system, you have to play a lot of nickel anyway. So I don't even know if losing Grant Olson for a game like this would be as important as necessarily going up against like a Wofford or somebody that runs the ball a ton. So I think they're going to play a fair amount of nickel, and in that scheme, Little John would play the Mike anyway. So that'll be fine. I still think, based on what they've gone through and what I've seen from Youngstown, Hess is a good quarterback, but he also has had a few games this season where, like, where has he been? I mean, he had a game 3 weeks ago where he was 6-16 for 47 yards. I think this offense can get stopped. This Youngstown offense, are they good? They have a good running back, true freshman, very good.
Who recruited, by the way,
they
too,
did.
Right?
Yeah, out of Florida. But I'm still, have I seen really enough of Youngstown as a dominating team? Yeah, they're 8-2
this
or whatever.
This is their Super Bowl, though.
It is. I mean, it is. And there's 20,000 people, and I get that. But, you know, I look at what North Dakota State's done this year, too, Mike, on the road, and they haven't lost a road game since Eastern Washington in 2010.
Yep.
And they got 25 seniors on the team, and every year we doubt them or question them, they ended up responding. You know, like you and I, you know, I was with you on Southern Illinois. I was like, I think that's a game I was a little worried about. And then they just steamrolled those guys in the second half.
Wasn't even close.
It didn't even look like the Man against belonged boys. In the same field. Right. You know, and again, that Youngstown was down 13 in the fourth quarter to Southern Illinois earlier in the season, rallied back to win by one. So common opponents, when you look at some of the scores, I need to see more from Youngstown before I'm really like, oh, in awe of Youngstown.
I will never pick against NDSU again because I've made that mistake. And if you look at until this group of seniors graduates, I won't pick against NDSU. And so I'm not going to do that this week either. I just think that there are a lot of things going on here that, again, to be the guy waving the red flag, just so many things happening with Olsen's injury. Brian Shepard doesn't sound 100% healthy either, right?
He
missed
a bunch
of plays. He's got a hamstring going on, and he's their nickel guy that comes in and plays the nickel for him. Marcus Williams, not healthy. So there's a lot of things going on defensively that add up to maybe not NDSU playing their best game ever. But I won't pick against him, though, because I've seen it too many times where you think, okay, this is it, and then it's like, wow, okay.
But
they haven't seen that level before.
But still good on the D-line, still good on the O-line. So if you can control the things up front, you always have a good chance of winning whether you're home on the road. And I think that's where their strength is.
They have a great defensive line. And, oh, by the way, if their offensive line, NDSU's I'm talking, plays well, that keeps Youngstown's offense off the field. If you're on a seven-minute drive, if you're Brock Jensen and Sam Ogiri and John Crockett, Hess can't be on the field.
And I'll take NDSU's coaches over Youngstown's coaches in terms of adjustments, too. That's just me.
Wow. You're a homer.
I've yet to see anybody. I've said to be on, but I'll coach him in the second half.
No, you're right. And that's the second half adjustments. NDSU just kicks everybody's butt. Bishon, thank you. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, it's good to see you, Mike.
Yep,
thanks.
You bet. See you in Youngstown. Brian, yeah. Sean, Red Cross, and cover North Dakota State on TV for the Bison TV network. This is the Mike McFeely Show. Dennis Wallacher sounded like he's going to run for mayor again of Fargo. Do you like that idea? We'll talk about that next.